If you have siblings, you know how the age-related pecking order can seem so important when you're little? Whether you're older or younger, the birth order can define your role in the family. But then you grow up, and the roles get a lot mushier. Little siblings can protect, older sibs can need a hand. This is kind of a recurring theme in our stories today, and it's a big one for Sasha M. Sasha's a photographer and a web strategist in Seattle, and she came in to tell us about her older brother, Thomas.
So oftentimes, I would see him come home from school looking exhausted. He would drop his backpack onto the floor, get into bed, and just sleep and sleep and sleep. And oftentimes, we would be alone because my mother was a doctor, and she was doing her residency at a hospital, often spending nights at the hospital. So he and I would be alone, and I would wake him up for dinner. I'd often have to shake him and call him. I would say, "Oppa, oppa," which is Korean for big brother. And he would wake up, and we'd sit across from the dinner table, and he would be silent as we ate. And oftentimes after we'd eat, he'd watch some TV. But a lot of times he would just go back to bed. And when he wasn't sleeping, he was often kind of angry and kind of violent. One time, he got really angry because my breath smelled like peanut butter. And he got really angry. He was like, "Your breath stinks. You know, why didn't you brush your teeth?" And he was just shouting and getting really angry. And then he just took my head and slammed it against the drawer, and I ended up with a black eye. And, you know, both of us were really upset by this. He was remorseful right away. And there were a couple of other occasions when things like this happened. I have a lot of sweet memories about my brother. He always took care of me. Like, he would walk me to school, he would walk me back. He would help me do homework sometimes. He taught me how to ride a bicycle. That's one of the sweetest memories that I have. You know, one summer I was just riding this bicycle with training wheels, and then he unscrewed the training wheels one day and he said, "You're ready." And I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah." So I got on the bicycle and he said, "Here, I'll hold you, but just keep pedaling." And so I started pedaling, and his hand was on my back as I was pedaling. And he said, "Keep going faster, faster, faster." And so I pedaled faster, and I felt this rush when I felt his hand lift away from my back, and I realized that I was riding the bicycle on my own. And I could hear him behind me cheering me on, saying, "Woohoo, you know, you're doing it, you're doing it, woohoo." So, you know, that's one of my sweetest memories. And I always thought of him as kind of a protector and just always a big brother figure. You know, many years later, I moved to Seattle, and at some point, he's picked up by the police. He was driving around, and I think he might have run out of gas or something, and he was disoriented. The police picked him up and sent him to a mental hospital. I actually went to visit him at the hospital. And, you know, he was in a hospital gown, and he was given a lot of drugs. I think at the time he was diagnosed for bipolar disorder. And so for the first time, we had a name for his condition. It wasn't just that he was angry and he was sleeping a lot. It was he was bipolar. He got up out of bed to see me, but he was just visibly really exhausted. And he had this plastic bracelet around his wrist. And he just kept playing around with that bracelet, and he just looked at me and was slurring his words, and he just said, "I can't take this off." And I think it just dawned on me at that time that there was this huge gap between our lives. You know, because by that point I had graduated from college. I had lived in Europe. It just seemed really unfathomable how we had come from the same family. Like, how could I have so much and him so little? There was such a gap between the haves and the have-nots in one family. And if there's any kind of blessing about his illness, it's that, you know, he's always reminding me of how good I have it. Anytime I feel lonely or sad about my own life, I think about my brother and I think about how much tougher he must have it and how he's so strong to keep on living. There was one time when, you know, he was in New York. I was visiting him and my mother, and he'd gone to Macy's one day and spent $700 on jewelry for a woman that he hadn't seen in like over 15 years or so. It was this woman that he had a crush on in high school. Her name was Deborah. And he was convinced that Deborah would marry him. And he tracked her phone number and left 7 or 8 different messages. And when she finally called, I was actually the person answering the call. And Deborah was really confused. Deborah was a lawyer by then, and she thought that my brother's calls were about a case that she was working on. And I told her, no, you know, my brother was a classmate of yours in high school. And she said, really? Thomas? Thomas M? I don't remember that. I don't remember a Thomas M. That night when my brother came home, what I did say was, you need to take your medication. And I took him to the bathroom where all of his medicine bottles were lined up. You know, they'd been untouched. And he said, no, I don't. I said, yes, you do. And he said, well, the doctor says it's up to me. And he got really angry. And I just said, I will take them with you. Okay, I'll just take them with you. Because I was so desperate for him to start taking his medication. And he said, okay. So I was about to take one of the pills, but as soon as I put one into my mouth, he said, wait. And I said, what? He said, let me cut these in half for you because you're smaller than me. These might be too much for you. And so I gave him back the pills and he took them to a cutting board. And he started cutting each pill so carefully, like he was crouched over them so methodically. I thought, oh my gosh, like even in this thick delusional haze, my brother still cares about me. He's still my big brother. He still wants to take care of me. We visit each other at least once or twice a year. Last summer, he came to visit me in Seattle, and I was really nervous about that trip because it was going to be a one-week trip, and he had recently suffered a mental breakdown, so I didn't know how he was going to be. We had a really good week. Towards the end of that week, he saw a flyer for an 80s night at a club. And he really wanted to go to that. And I said, oh, God, no, I don't want to go to an 80s night. And we're going to look like boyfriend and girlfriend. And he said, oh, come on, it'll be a lot of fun. So, you know, we got dressed up and went to the club. And my brother just, you know, went right into the middle of the dance floor and started dancing and smiling at people. And he's having a good time. And he beckons me to come to the dance floor. And I thought, oh, gosh, I really don't want to do this. But then I think, when else am I going to have this opportunity to dance with my brother? So I go onto the middle of the dance floor and, you know, like the Eurythmics Sweet Dreams comes on. Sweet dreams are made of this. And my brother's singing along and having such a great time. And we're dancing together. And, you know, we don't just look like boyfriend and girlfriend, we actually look like an old married couple out on a date night without the kids, and we're holding hands and just having a great time. So, you know, we keep dancing that night, and I think, gosh, like, I really don't know him. You know, for a long time, I've just seen him as someone who's mentally ill and someone to feel sorry for, someone who suffers more than me. But I, you know, really just like need to, you know, learn more about him as another person, as a friend and another human being, and try to create these moments of joy, like the dancing with him. Before, I think I was really trying to fix his problems. And we would argue a lot about his illness. At this point in our lives, I've come to realize that just trying to accept him for who he is and for some of the joy and heartbreak that he brings to my life, like just embracing all of that would be the best thing to do. I think whatever is happening with another person, we were there like at the source. Like we were there to somehow shape this person.